verse from 6 to 13, Hebrews chapter 8. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray, bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the love. Thank you, Lord, for establishing an everlasting covenant with all of us, because we all have sinned and short of the glory of the Lord. But Lord, still, you showed thy grace and mercy in all our lives. Lord, we bless thy holy name, the name above all names, that you delivered all of us from the darkness, and you made our covenant with death, it became annulled, invalid. It doesn't work on us anymore, because, oh Lord, the living word entered our lives and we started living truly with the living God. Because, oh Lord, you are our Lord, our Master, our Creator, and Lord, we belong to you. Lord, we bless thy name because you are righteous, you are holy, and your greatness is unsearchable, oh Lord. But still we found thy grace in our lives. Lord, thank you, Lord, for filling our lives with the words of life. Lord, as we partake the bread of life, we pray, dwell in the midst of us, and we ask for thy Holy Ghost to take complete control of our lives, not just today, O Lord, every day, all the time, because we belong to you, O Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Bless us, guide us, give us the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to continue to walk in this narrow path, holding your hands firmly and walking with you humbly. By decreasing ourselves, we increase thy mighty hand in our lives, O Father. Lord, we pray that you are always with us, and we ask for thy presence to go with us wherever we go, so that we can speak the gospel of peace. As we learn more and more of thy grace, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, Lord, help us and to be the empty vessels that can be used to fill thy glory in this world, O Lord. There is a purpose that you saved all of us, because, O Lord, in your time, everything that you had purposed in your heart, it shall come to pass. Lord, guide us to be part of thy perfect will. Help us, O Lord, that we don't cling on to our own understanding or our own free will, but Lord, rather, we are here to surrender ourselves with the perfect submission to be a living sacrifice for thy perfect will to be fulfilled, to be manifested in our lives. Because, O Lord, our life is hid in Christ, and you helped us to find it by revealing the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord, for the words of life. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you take the highest seat in our midst. And we surrender the sermon into thy hands. May the Holy Ghost speak to our hearts that we may receive the new set of eyes, a new heart that receives more and more of thy understanding, so that we can grow in grace, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all. You may be all seated. We thank the Lord for this beautiful day, because we gathered together in His name. Amen. In our lives, we have bad days, normal days, and good days. But if we feel in our consciousness that we are with the Lord and His presence is always with us, only then we will truly feel that every day is a good day because God is good. But the word good means sweet in this world. Something more pleasing to our ears, something more beauty to our eyes, something more comforting and warm to our hearts. But in God's word, the word good means good. When the Lord punishes, good. When the Lord sends us to valley, good. When the Lord purges, prunes us, good. When we suffer for His sake, good. But for the outward appearance, for this world, it is not good. People will say, what happened to you? Your life is in a miserable state. But the fellowship of thy sufferings is not a miserable state. It is a blessed state. So the consequences and the sacrifices are entirely two different things. If I continue to smoke as a bad person, if I get a lung cancer, if I tell the Lord, Lord, I bless thy holy name for giving me this trial, then I'm a liar. I dishonored the temple of Holy Ghost, and I take the praise of what mistakes I made. So may the Lord give us the discernment how we walk in our life every day, and what are the consequences that we ought to take responsibility as a man. Thinketh our heart produces the words that we speak. Because the Lord always wants us to be the man to take accountability, to understand and appreciate the power He has given us in our lives, because the perfect will of God is subject to our willingness and obedience. Those three things, if God imputes in our lives, then it defeats the whole purpose of the Word of God. May the Lord grant us His knowledge and wisdom as we are about to study the words of life concerning death, sacrifice, and the covenant. As we all know, in the Old Testament there were a lot of deaths, and there were a lot of sacrifices, and there were a lot of covenants, all in plural. But in the New Testament, the Lord converts all into unity, in oneness, one sacrifice, one offering, and one atonement that changed everything once for all, beyond time, from the past to the present and the future. How can this covenant can be called as an everlasting covenant where the sacrifice was made when Jesus Christ was in flesh? Amen. As I was meditating the words of life this week, what is the definition of sacrifice to you and me in this world? To our loved ones, we say, I spent all my time for you, but still you disappointed me. So we intentionally tell them, I sacrificed my time for you, but it didn't pay any dividends to me or to you. It's a waste of time. Or I worked very hard. I saved all my savings. I spent all my time to work very hard. And I gave all my savings to the studies of my children or to someone who needs financial help. Then they didn't make it to good use. They disappointed us. They cheated us. Then we say, I sacrificed my everything to you, but still it proved nothing. This is what sacrifice to us, our time, our love, our efforts, our work, or whatever that you have, when you give it to someone, it becomes a sacrifice that you made for someone, on the other side, who received it, it is a blessing because he is not sacrificing. He is enjoying your sacrifice, which is to be counted as his blessing, something that he received. As we read in the Bible, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen?
Amen.
And what is that give? Is it financial support? Or is it like spending our time with someone? Because let's be honest, we waste our time a lot in our work, in speaking with people, things that are not meaningful. But it is our battle, you know, in this world. So, the word sacrifice that is mentioned in the Bible, it has different meanings from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Because at the end of the love letter, the Lord calls all of us, you and me, all of us are a living sacrifice. Amen? A living sacrifice. The word living, it means it's not something to be lived until certain point of time. It's living sacrifice. It lives because it's an eternal covenant. There is no end to it. So, as we are about to meditate this, I pray that the Lord open our eyes, give us a new heart to receive more and more of His knowledge and wisdom, because understanding Bible, learning new doctrines is one side, but knowing the glory of the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, is on the other side. Let's always hold on to the goodness of God rather than the knowledge of the Bible itself as a book. It is not a book. It is a book for those who read it as a book, who spend time as a book. But it is not a book. This is the place where we can meet the Lord, speak with Him, and more importantly, listen to Him. Last week when I was praying with my personal Bible study, I suddenly thought, if prayer is nothing but a conversation between the Father and the children, between the Lord, between the master and the servant, between a friend and a friend, there are two components in a prayer. Amen. One, you speak, and there is one more important component, you listen. But if you think very carefully, most of the time, it is a one-way traffic. We don't let the Lord to speak to us, assuming we think Lord will fulfill my desire, Lord will answer my prayers, that is the way the Lord is speaking to me. But the Holy Ghost is waiting just right in front of you, encamping around you, waiting to speak to you. But we don't believe. When you don't believe, the Holy Ghost cannot stay. Because our faith is the anchor to keep the Holy Ghost in us, with us. So when we pray, I earnestly request all of you humbly, give time to be in silence when you are praying individually in your closet, when you shut the door. Holy Ghost will speak to you by pouring the blessed thoughts in your mind. Those blessed thoughts no one can give. Never misunderstand, oh, I learned 5 verses, I am getting new beautiful ideas. We will not get ideas. We are no one to get the blessed thoughts. Only the Lord can bless us with His blessed thoughts.
Amen.
So in a prayer, there are two components, speaking and listening, for which we need to wait in the silence so that the Lord can speak to us.
Amen.
We have to be relentless. We should not give up. We should basically keep on bargaining with the Lord, like how the way Abraham bargained with the Lord. We should tell the Lord, Lord, I want to listen to your voice. I want to get the blessed thoughts. Whatever the obstacle that is between me and you, help me to take everything with prayers, with meditating on the words of life. And this steadfast attitude is very important for us to understand what is sacrifice. Why? If I give my life to, let's say, Brother Clement, we are walking in a road, suddenly there is a bus comes, and I just push him, but I find myself, you know, get hit by the truck, and I die. Now, the life of Brother Clement will not be the same before that particular moment when I afford my life. Let's say he don't know me well, I don't know you well, but just because we are brothers in Christ, I just felt the leading of the Lord to save your life because the Lord has some better, mightier purpose for you. If I offer my life, from that second onwards until the very last second of his last breath of his life, he would remember the sacrifice made for him to preserve his life. Amen?
Amen.
This is not possible if I just get injured and I heal in time. He would eventually forget. after 10 years, 20 years. Oh, yes, yes. Thank God that Brother Prasi tried to save me, but God helped him to preserve his life. He had a minor fracture, 2 months, 3 months. He got healed. 10 years, 20 years, he would completely forgive me. It is true because we are all carnal. We are nothing without the Lord. But if someone truly died for us, we cannot detach ourselves from the sacrifice because it is heavy. That soul burden is extremely heavy. It will hit you very hard. There is no life if there is no death. When the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, suffered for us, if the sacrifice ended at the suffering, if there was no death, we wouldn't be sitting here. It would have been a different, entirely different story. What we lost by death, the wage of sin is death. Amen? If death entered our lives, the same way we read, if a sharp object went into your body, like a thorn, you need another sharp object to operate it and take it out. What was lost by death was restored back to us by death. So, if the Lord died for us, I want all of us to focus on 4 important words that struck me very hard, not just recently. I always remind myself of these 4 words. They stripped him, they struck his head, and they smote him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and they spat on him, and we all say, salvation is a gift from the Lord. Lord, thank you. We only think about the goodness, but we always forget what he had gone through for you and me. It's not just about the death. The most troubling thought to me spiritually is the shame, the reproach that he carried for you and me, for all of us. If the king said, okay, go and crucify Jesus or behead Jesus, like the way John the Baptist sacrificed his life, we will say, Lord, you gave your life to me. I pray in the name of Jesus, every time we think about the sacrifice of our Lord for us, do not just remember the death. Remember the shame that he had carried before the death. That is the most painful burden that we all must carry for the rest of our life. To tell ourselves, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever, he was stripped off. They put him a scarlet robe on him. They struck his head. They spat on him. And he was silent when all the shame was being carried out on his body. Because when Jesus was born as a child, we read the body was prepared for the Holy Ghost to dwell, for the fullness of God to manifest in the baptism. The body of Jesus Christ is not the flesh that we are all fighting against. It is the divine body, the glorious body, which in turn is called as the church, because we are the body of Christ. Amen. So with this, I would say it is good to have godly burden. It is good to have godly sorrow. It is good to remember godly pain. Let us not have worriness, confusions, doubt. These are not part of a Christian's life. The Lord wants us to cry, not the way the world cries, but cry because of the love for someone, cry because of the humiliation that you have because the Lord touched you. So there are 2 different emotions that we face in our lives. May the Lord bring us always to the side of Him where the godly emotions will take over life. If there is no godly emotion in our life, when Jesus cried, when He walked into the Jerusalem, when He saw the Martha was crying, when Jesus cried, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, if we all say, oh, the word was spoken, it is going to be fulfilled, then why my Savior, my Messiah, my everything cries? The Almighty Himself, we read, the Lord grieved in His heart, repented in His heart, as we read in King James, that He made Saul king. why we can make the Lord to grieve. It is just because of the agape love that is reciprocating between us and Him. It backfires if we betray Him. It makes Him to grieve because of the sacrifice that was made for you and me. It's not a simple sacrifice. Let's all turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. Not by man, which the Lord Himself pitched. Verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. But what he did, he offered himself. He didn't offer anything else, but he offered himself. Now, let's ask ourselves, when we remember Adam and Eve, to be very sincere, honest and genuine in the presence of God, we always think about Eve with an attitude of looking down on her. Oh, the enemy deceived you. Because of Eve, sin entered our lives. But let's turn further. Eve was the first creation as a woman by God from Adam. How pure she was, how strong she was, how wise she was, and how knowledgeable she was. But still, she was deceived. And how weak we are. Now, more than 6,000 years of pollution in God's word, corruption, spiritual harlotry against God's work. We are nowhere near to those people who started this journey for us. Let us always have the respect and love for everyone that we read in the Bible, because everything was given to us to find life. Amen. Amen. When I was thinking about Adam and Eve, something was done. Then the Lord said, as we know, the wage of sin is death. So, when the Lord said, when you violate this, the very same day, the death will enter in your life. So we lost the eternal life and we moved or thrown to the mortal life. But Abel and Cain, two brothers sharing two different fathers, a serpent seed and the seed of Adam. I believe there is a lot for all of us to learn from the life of Abel, although there was not much mentioning about him. He lived, he grew up, he was sacrificing the best of what he has to the Lord, and we read the Lord was happy with him. He respected his sacrifice. The word is very clear. God respected the sacrifice of Abel. But whatever Cain did, the Lord had a different feeling about him. There is an answer to this, why the Lord has done that. Before we talk about the brothers, the adversity among brothers, let's read Genesis chapter 4. We get the context of countenance that was fallen. Genesis chapter 4, let's read from verse 4 to 5. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 5 is a very important event in humankind, because when the countenance of Cain fell, something is about to happen. There is going to be a consequence. But the most beautiful thing is, the Lord did not keep silence. He came immediately and he addressed the blind spot, what Cain could not see, to give him a genuine warning, because he is righteous. Amen. Let's read verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, immediately after what we read, the countenance fell, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? God knows exactly why his countenance fallen. If God respected both the sacrifices equally, both the offerings equally, Cain would not be in this situation. But still, it was also the Lord who respected Abel more than Cain, which pushed Cain to reveal the true nature that was hidden in himself. So Lord asked him a genuine question, why your countenance has fallen? God knows everything. He knows everything, but still he asked, because he always wants all of us to be a man to answer God in his word. But we do not see any record of the response that we received from Cain in the Bible. But verse 7 says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He's asking a question. And that question has an answer in itself. If you have done well, I would have accepted because I'm righteous. I can't have partiality. God is light. He is holy. He cannot have partiality. Something that was lacking in the sight of Cain, which he could not see. And the Lord gave him the revelation, if you had done good, I would have accepted the same way I accepted Abel. Yes. And this answer continues, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. If thou shalt not do well, sin lieth at the door waiting for you. Whenever we read the word door, the Lord remembers us, when I knock the door, ready to hear my voice, open the door. We don't want to be the foolish virgins. Amen. We want to be the wise virgins. We cannot go and buy the oil when the time is out. We always have to be with the oil to burn the light continually. Because every time our countenance fell, the sin lieth at the door to take you to the everlasting fire to be destroyed. Not forever, to be destroyed once for all. But the fire is everlasting because the fire went forth from the presence of the Lord who is everlasting. Death has an end to it. Life has no end to it. Amen. We continue here, and the Lord said, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In verse 7, the Lord answered all the mystery that may come into our heart. Why? Everything the Lord answered himself, even there was no record of what Cain said. Because Cain spoke louder with his action by killing Abel. Your action speaks louder than what you proclaim of who you are. It's not about what we say, what we write, what we say that I can do this better, I can do this weaker. It is how you did it. It is not how you are going to do it. It is always what we have done. The Lord assesses based on what we have done. He always keeps the grace and mercy for our future. Tomorrow, today. If Cain did something that put him in a state whereby he was exposed, that is the true explanation of what happened from verse 4 to verse 7. Something the Lord did because of who he is, he didn't mean to hurt or kill Cain, he didn't mean to bring sin to Cain's life. He remains as who he is. He cannot change. He is the Almighty. Because of his righteousness, nakedness will be exposed. The offering and the sacrifice that comes from our lives to the Lord, if the Lord says, I am not happy with what you have done, we cannot say, Lord, why? The answer is there. The answer is here. The Lord asks us to go back to my word and find out why. I will meet you there. Now, this is the first incident in Bible when a life was lost. Yes, true, when Adam and Eve, they received the punishment when death entered, Adam did not live more than 1,000 years. He just lived until 930 years. But Abel was the first one to die. Let's say we are all parents. We have beautiful children. Born, grown up, growing up, we establish a relationship more in love. When they grown up to be a young man or young woman, if the child, the son or daughter was killed by another bad or evil person, imagine the pain of the parents. The first child of Adam and Eve was killed and the blood was shed. There was no record of what happened to Adam and Eve in the Bible. But as a child of God, we should be able to reconcile the pain that they had gone through because they lost their child. For Adam, he lost his son. But for Eve, she lost her son who was killed by her son, which she conceived with the evil. Then I was praying, when the blood of Abel was shed, do you see how beautifully the Lord opened the mystery in Genesis? I believe it is in verse 8 to 10. Let's continue read this. Verse 8 to 10. This is very important. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Immediately, the next verse we read, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He reminds him, where is Abel? He did not say, where is my son? Where is my child? Where is my favorite? He didn't say that. He said, where is Abel, thy brother, your brother? He reminds him, he was your brother, what you did to him. And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? He is all seeing, he is all hearing, but still he is asking Cain, what have you done? The next line that we read is very important in our spiritual life. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Abel was killed. He is a pure seed of Adam and Eve. The blood of Abel crieth unto the Lord from the ground. And the Lord heard the cry of the voice of the blood of Abel. If we don't understand this, then we won't understand the blood sacrifice. If we don't understand what happened to Abel and how the Lord responded to the situation, then we won't understand why our Lord and Savior Jesus had to shed blood for you and me. We know what happened after that. Cain was cursed, but the Lord preserved his life. He didn't want anyone to kill him, because if death to be answered by murder, it is not an offering. It is another sin that opens the gate for another sin. So the Lord preserved the life of Cain because there was no law before given to them. From here, I want us to remember, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We are one family of God. What happened between two brothers is a reflection of what the serpent was thinking of Adam. To do something to Adam, it deceived Eve. So this battle continues generations to generations, and the Lord has a word of life for us to understand this mystery in Romans chapter 9. Let's all read this. Romans chapter 9, verse 13 to 16. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, spiritually, let us look into this verse. Can God love someone and hate someone without a reason? No. He is righteous. Amen. He is the judge. He is the light. In him there is no darkness. He cannot do that. Whenever we read in the Bible, the Lord hated someone, he hated the sin in that someone because he cannot love sin. He is holy. He is the eternal Holy Spirit. The attributes of human, the carnal mind of us, will make the Lord to hate us because he cannot love sin. In this verse, the Lord says, Jacob I love. Something is in Jacob. Esau I hated. Something that is not good in Esau. That's all. There is no comparison, there is no partiality because he is the same yesterday, today and forever. This is also applicable to Abel and Cain. The way Jacob received his inheritance may sound, may look not genuine, not good in the sight of the whole world. But the Lord allowed it to be because he loved Jacob. It is written here. He loved Jacob. He is to be the Israel from whom the 12 tribes will come out. If we continue, why? Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Amen. Verse 16 is so beautiful. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Because all have sinned, we are all short of the glory of the Lord. There is no way we can walk into the blessedness without his mercy, without his grace in our lives. Now, how we receive the grace and mercy in our lives? Can I say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in whatever happened in his life, but Lord, I believe in thy grace and mercy? No. Whoever do not believe in Jesus, they will believe in Jesus. Whoever not heard his name, they will hear his name. Every tongue shall confess Jesus is the Lord. We have only two choices. I believe God's word completely or I don't believe at all. There is no percentage to it. Always remember that. If I say, I am convinced with 99.9999% of this Bible, but there is a 0.0001% I need some clarity, then you are an unbeliever. Either you believe this from the very first word until the very last verse in Revelation, or you don't believe at all. When it comes to holiness, there is no percentage. But when it comes to faith, yes, there is a level of growth. Because God tells us, grow in your faith, to be more stronger, to be more enduring in our fellowship with the suffering, because he has given us a portion of his faith to us. Then he gives his calling to everyone to use us accordingly. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to how much we believe in the Lord, we cannot say, Lord, I believe seven chapters, the two chapters I do have some doubts. Then we are an unbeliever, as simple as that. Amen. One glass of milk, one drop of poison, poison. Amen. Now, if all the sacrifices made in the Old Testament, whatever we read from Abraham, before that Noah, then we have Moses, the Ark of Covenant, the Mercy Seat Atonement, then followed by what the Lord told to David, everlasting covenant that lasts enduring forever for all the generations to come, then the way Solomon built the temple. It is all a prefiguration of what is about to happen in the New Testament, as we know. This we know. We thank the Lord for revealing the truth to us. But what we oftentimes we have this blind spot is, just because we know, we forget the shame, the sacrifice that was carried for you and me, which put us on a haughty stage where I know this, I have gone through all the doctrines, thank the Lord for revealing the truth to me, I'm just going to be a good Christian. We just feel, we live a life very confident and we forget about how much dependent are we with the vine, he himself. Without the vine, the branches are nothing. The Bible says, I am the vine, and the Lord says, without me, you, me are nothing. Because when the branch is cut out from the vine, you won't get the nutrients, you will die. If you die, then we have to be thrown to the fire. So now, when the Lord spoke to Noah, there is something he said to Noah that separates the beast of the earth, that he will meet us in the air, which he told to Noah in Genesis chapter 9. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 9. We will hold on to Hebrew and we will read the verses to understand more how the Lord is speaking to us. God blesses Noah in chapter 9. Let's read the verse 6 to 8 first. Who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah, unto his sons with him, saying, And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Amen. So here the Lord is speaking to Noah and he's establishing a covenant with him. Let's go to verse 11 in the same chapter. The Lord said, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12. How beautifully the Lord says, And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. Verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Amen. Every time we see rainbow, we remember this verse. Lord told Moses, Lord told Noah, that I will establish a covenant, and this bow is a covenant between me and the earth. He didn't simply say you, he said the earth. Whenever we think we are stronger, we can carry our own life, we can do everything with our own might, our own strength, even what we learn from the Bible, the gravity of this earth reminds all of us of something. No matter how strong you are, let's say you can carry the weight 2 or 3 times more than your own weight, you cannot carry yourself. Without the foundation, we cannot stand. I can only jump, then again I'll come back to the foundation. The ground. The ground which brings me back to the ground. You will say, no brother, I can hold on to a rod and I can pull myself. See, my hand is not floating on the ground. But still the rod is rooted to the ground. We are from this earth. We are always, we need something to walk, we need something to sit. We are always kind of attached to the ground because of the gravity. Whenever you say, oh, my pain is so much, the gravity of this situation is terrible because it has some grip on you. When the Lord reminds us, I do set a bow that reminds of my covenant between me and the earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, do we all remember the rapture, what the Lord told all of us? Let's read chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, the remnant of God, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Not on the ground. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When we read, so shall we ever be with the Lord, this should bring all the covenants back to our mind. What the Lord told to Noah, Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, forever, forever. We shall be with the Lord forever. When we read that, the next verse says, remember this, therefore comfort one another with these words. This is the word that can bring us the comfort, because he is the comforter, that he will be with us forever, not for a limited period of time. When Jesus resurrected, when he descended unto Sheol, when he appeared to his disciples, he was with them for a period of time. Then he resurrected, ascended unto heaven, Then he said, I will send a comforter to be with you all. This, when I was reading this, I was asking about why the Lord had to purge our sins, wash us in His blood, so that we can be pure in His sight, because the body that we are in is not a glorious body. Amen. To be able to be with the Lord, we have to leave this, to be perfected completely, to receive the glorious body from who? From our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Now, let's read Hebrew. Let's continue here. Hebrew chapter 8, we continue here. Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shewed to thee, in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. When we read the wage of sin is death, all have sinned, we are short of the glory of the Lord, the mediator of the covenant, who helped us, who blessed us by showing the grace and mercy to bridge us from mortality to the eternal promise of God. Amen. Let's remember what the Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 3 to 7. This is after the Lord spoke to Abraham that he will make him as a great nation. But in chapter 17, verse 3 to 7, the Lord speak to Abraham before he called himself to sacrifice his only son. So let's remember the sequence. Chapter 7, verse 3 to 7. Chapter 17, verse 3 to 7. And Abraham, at that point of time, he was not Abraham. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy any name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Amen. This covenant that the Lord made with Abraham is very important, because the promised son to Abraham was Isaac. From here, we don't have to read the verses of what happened, because we have gone through in the last few Sundays. Then the Lord told Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son. And Abraham told his son, God will provide himself a lamb of sacrifice. So he proclaimed his faith. By doing so, he also said what is going to happen in the appointed time for all of us. Amen. From Abraham, then we move on to Moses. Because when the Lord used Moses with the people of Israel, there were three important events happened. When the Lord spent 40 days time with Moses on the mountain for his fasting and prayer, he received 10 commandments. He came down, and the golden calf situation made him angry, and he broke the tablets. Then the Lord, fine, come back. He again brought Moses, and he gave him the commandments in a new tablet. Then, remember in Exodus 25, we read about the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat atonement, how the Levites, priests, they offered sacrifice to the Lord, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is a very deeper spiritual event that happened in the wilderness for the people of Israel, the Lord allowed this, and the Lord gave a type and shadow of how the prefiguration of Christ will take place in the New Testament. Amen? This one, by the grace of God, we have experienced in our life. When the Lord washed all of us from our sins, when we felt His presence, we received the glory of the Lord. Amen? And from Moses, we know how the Lord established a covenant with David that lasts forever for all the generations. And we know the offspring and the root of from the David's line, from David's generation, the line of Judah. Amen. All the prophets of God, the kings that the Lord used mightily in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices, all the covenant that He made with them, it was not linked to salvation. It was not linked to the eternal promise of God, but rather He was preparing the journey for what is about to come to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Let's read Hebrew 9 from here. Hebrew chapter 9. We read from verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, the bread of life. Amen. And Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Let's always remember this, what was inside. The golden censer, the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant the Lord gave to Moses. Amen. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. This is a prefiguration that the Lord beautifully demonstrated to His people of Israel through Moses and Aaron, who were the priests of God, who offered sacrifice unto God. Amen. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Accomplishing the service of God. God asked them to serve Him in this manner, and they were accomplishing what was asked of them. Amen. Now, verse 7, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. You can say transgressions or abominations, violations, missions against God, and he had to do something to compensate. But it is not the eternal promise, eternal salvation for us. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Amen. The way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Amen. Which was a figure for the time when the present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Until the time of reformation. This summarizes everything happened in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, how the way the Lord dealt with His people, the prophets, all the patriarchs. Now, let's look at this prayerfully. We start from the top left. What Adam and Eve did had an impact in the life of Abel, who didn't do anything wrong. But all have sinned short of the glory of the Lord. Although Abel did not commit anything explicitly, but still, the serpent seed, Cain, who was growing,
he slew his brother, the wife of Abel's blood crieth unto the Lord from the ground. Amen. Let us start from here. The pure blood, the innocent blood, which didn't commit sin, crieth unto the Lord from the ground. What God did, he appointed another seed because the first seed was lost by Adam and Eve. And that seed was called Seth. Is he called instead of Abel? God gave Seth instead of Abel, which was lost, slew by Cain. Now, when he talked to Noah, the Lord says, I do set my bow in the cloud, not on the earth, not on the ground. The Lord says to Noah, I do set my bow in the cloud. Because remember, when the Lord sent the flood, the whole earth was covered in flood, all the flesh destroyed, only those lives which were inside the ark were preserved, but still the serpentine nature escaped. The Lord allowed it to happen through the wife of Noah. Amen. So the Lord said, this is the covenant between me and the earth. He said this to Noah. Then to Abraham, the Lord established an everlasting covenant. But what Abraham proclaimed to his son Isaac, when the Lord told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac himself, Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, the lamb of sacrifice. He said, my son, he was speaking to his son Isaac, the seed, the promised seed from God to Abraham, same as Seth, which was given to Adam and Eve after what they lost in Abel. Then we move on to Moses, Aaron. When the Lord used Moses mightily to lead the people of Israel in the wilderness, he made the wood of acacia wood. He preferred the Ark of the Covenant in gold, two cherubims. We know that. We will study this deeply as we go on by the grace of God. For now, let us remember the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat atonement, which was practiced in those days by the high priest, Aaron, Moses, and people of Israel. Now, this is the Old Testament, most importantly. We know what the Lord told to the kings, but let's bridge the gap. When we read Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Last Sunday we read, in the last days God speaketh to all of us through his son. Amen. And here we read, the blood of Jesus sprinkling on all of us speaketh better than the blood of Abel. We always compare Jesus as the last Adam when you think about the first Adam, a living soul and a quickening spirit. But if you spiritually look at the entire Bible, Jesus can be seen in everything that you read in the Bible, in everyone where the Spirit of the Lord witnessed. When Abel was killed, Lord allowed his son, his child, by innocent blood, to shed blood. Without God's permission, no one can touch us. Amen. We must believe this. There should not be any compromise. No matter whatever the situation that you are in your life, how depressed you are, how weak you are, how painful you are, never ever let anyone to say or any thought to say that God is far away from you. It is a deception. Do not give any space for that. We can cry in pain. We can suffer in pain. But we are with the Lord. He is with us. Without his approval, without his permission, no one can touch or do anything against his children. He will only allow if he is going to do something greater things with your blood, with your pain. This is the answer for the fellowship of thy sufferings, of why the righteous people are sent to painful experiences in their lives, because If the blood of Abel crieth unto the Lord after he died, and here we read, the blood of Jesus speaketh better than the voice of the blood of Abel. And that is precisely why he shed the blood into the ground, because we are the beasts of this earth. The Lord will meet us again in the air. He made the covenant
with all of us. Amen. He is the mediator, heaven and earth, old and new. And what we should have, if you believe this, the Bible says you should receive the boldness to enter into the holiest. We just read. The Holy Ghost, this signifying the way into the holiest of all, was not yet made manifest while at the first tabernacle was yet standing. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 8. Let's remember this. When we read this, if we truly believe that Jesus is the mediator, that will give us the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, those who are baptized, remember, we were all asked, do you confess your sins, your trespasses? Do you confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that He resurrected from the dead? Do you accept Him as your master? Because we cannot do so without the Holy Ghost. And we say yes, we say amen, we baptize. When we start walking in the narrow path, we fall, we backslide, we turn right, we turn left. That is why when the Lord says, I want to perfect you, He says, I am the vine, you are the branch, without me, you are dead. Even if you are with me and trying to go in your own ways, when the time comes, I will cut you off. Because when the Lord knocks the door, only those who are the wise virgins will hear His voice. Amen. Now, the promise was given to all of us. We, our life was hid in Christ, and we find life when we find Him. So the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. And we, that we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. When you read the word clouds, we shall remember the covenant that the Lord established with Noah. I do set my vow in the clouds, that is my covenant between me and the earth. And we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That symbolizes everything the Lord said to all the prophets in the Old Testament. Now, where does it take all of us? Let's read at the bottom. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. For me, I must accept that when I started this journey 15 years ago, for me, body means flesh. Flesh means carnal, spirit means pure. We should think everything in spirit. But glorious body, the celestial one, the spiritual priesthood, we are the lively stones built upon the chief cornerstone. The Lord is preparing all of us so that He can transform you and me to be like His glorious body, because the body of Jesus Christ was used as the only offering and used as the only sacrifice which gave us the everlasting covenant with the Lord. Two Sundays ago, we were focusing on the faithful witness who testifieth all things. Amen. All things. Why He must testify? Read the first verse of life sincerely. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. There is a necessity, it is not an option. It is a necessity be the death of the testator. The one who testifieth must die for all of us who died and who were born with the covenant with the death. So He had to die so that He can bring the life that we lost. Amen? Amen. He testifieth all things, which is to come. Amen? Amen. Now, if the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, every time we remember the crucifixion of Jesus, I earnestly, humbly ask you all, do not try to use our knowledge, doctrine, trying to apply on crucifixion. It is the purest form of the demonstration of God's love in our lives. It needs the Holy Ghost guidance to understand how much He loved us to do such thing, to go to that extent where He was stripped, spat by people,
They smote him, they struck his head, and they put a scattered robe on him. He bore all the shame, all the reproach for you and me before he died. He already died in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said the word, "Your will be done." And he was just like a walking body, walking body. Now, we read the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. When he started this sermon series, we studied the nakedness to blessedness, that we all must preserve our spirit, our body and our heart and mind blameless for our husbandman as a bride. So when the Lord comes, he will find us without spot, so that he can put us the garment of salvation, the fine linen of righteousness, and we will be with him and we will get the glorious body from him. So that the Lord can purge our conscience from the dead work to serve the living God. Let's stop here and let's continue in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Now, the Lord, we call him as the Redeemer, and we say the Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I serve a living God. Why? If the covenant of death that we had before we accept Christ ought to be annulled, becomes totally expired, not valid anymore, it must be broken by someone who is not bound to death, but he died. Who died, but death couldn't hold him. He descended into the Sheol, but the Sheol couldn't hold him. Because the wage of sin is death. He knew no sin, but still he was killed. So he violated the fundamental principle of death, which is sin. He knew no sin. He died as a sinful person, but he was not sin. Because of this violation of the fundamental principle of death itself, he descended into the Sheol. He did whatever he had to do, and the death couldn't hold him, and the enemy couldn't do anything to him. He preached the gospel to the souls, and he came back and spent time with his disciples. Then he ascended. Nothing could hold him. Crucified, descended, ascended, resurrected, nothing could hold him. Only him, through him, because of his single one offering. One offering, one sacrifice, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Savior. If there is anyone in the world who talks about Trinity, two in one, all these understandings, may the Lord grant us his grace and mercy to understand the truth. Two is not one. Even if I attach my two fingers like this, it may look as one, but still it is two fingers. I join my two fingers. Three is not one. They are separate. If I say three is one, it is still three fingers. God has given us sermons in our body. Every time we look at our body, one is one. One is one. Two is not one. If you have seen brethren from other churches, I have seen, never ever argue with them over Godhead. We pray for them, pray for the Lord to give us an opportunity to speak to them at the right time, because the understanding of Godhead is the biggest stumbling block that stopped the entire denominations, Jews and all the other religions could not overcome. And the Lord will break it in his own time. He needs people to stand in the gap. We can only say, "Lord, I am here, help me to be an empty vessel so that I can spread the gospel of peace. Your glory can fill the place." Amen. One is one. Two is not one. Three is not one. Amen. Now, as we continue, chapter 10, verse 16, chapter 10, verse 6 to 18, Hebrews chapter 10, I read from 6 to 18. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, "Though I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will." I come to do thy will, O God. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Above, when he said,
sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein. God had no pleasure in burnt sacrifices or all these offerings that we read in the Old Testament. But he did all of those for the people, to bring them into his laws and commandments, to walk in his laws and commandments. But it is not the solution as we know. And the Lord says, then said he, verse 9, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Read this very carefully. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He taketh away the first, and that he may establish the second. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 10 we read again. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. That is precisely why our Lord and Savior will transform us to be like Him by giving us His glorious body. Amen. Now, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, the way the Lord identifies the sacrifice, this man who was in flesh, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever that goes beyond time, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Now, what is very important here when it comes to the sufferings and sacrifices is, read this, he often has suffered since the foundations of the world. Why the Lord reminds us that he often has suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, which is to come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He often suffered since the foundation of the world, so he had to come to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, let's read on the top right regarding the redemption. When we say Jesus is the mediator of the covenant, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the old, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. The promise of eternal inheritance. So now, he often has suffered since the foundation of the world, but here we read, Christ was once suffered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, that without sin and unto salvation. We just read this, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Amen. There is a reason why we call him the last Adam, because there was a first Adam. There was a covenant, there was sacrifices, but he couldn't do what the Lord wanted to do. Then he had to appear once, suffered for all of us once, died for all of us once, one suffering, one sacrifice, so that we all receive the eternal promises, eternal inheritance from the Lord. Now, I want all of us to read the bottom one, the verse. This is the proclamation of faith, what the Lord revealed to us. Let's read this. Testament is offered after men are dead. When we were all born to die with a covenant of death, with an agreement with hell. And the Lord annulled everything when He revealed Himself to us, when He accepted Him as our Savior.
So, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now you compare this one with the top one, where there is a necessity be the death of the testator. The testator died, death couldn't hold him, he ascended, and death couldn't hold him. Because of that, the covenant that you and me had, for whom he sacrificed his own life, the covenant of death, the agreement with hell, does not hold value. It is of no strength at all, because the testator liveth. The testator died, but the testator liveth. Our Redeemer lives. This absolute confidence on our absolute, the word of God, should have the rejoice in our life. Every time we feel, oh, the enemy has attacked me, I feel the pain, I feel the burden, remember this word in your spirit. It is of no strength at all, because the testator liveth. That is why we are to be the living sacrifice. I cannot say I was a living sacrifice 2 years ago. I have to say I am a living sacrifice today. Tomorrow I shall be a living sacrifice if it is God's will. Because tomorrow is not in my hands. Today is the day the Lord has given me, given you. Amen. Now, with this, let's complete chapter 10 before I go to the last slide. I read from verse 15. Whatever we read so far, remember last Sunday we studied the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, beareth witness with our spirit. Amen? That is very important in our life as a witness of Christ. Now, whatever we read so far, there are a lot of verses talk about covenant. By the grace of God, we will start a new series on the Ark of Covenant when the Lord leads us. But for today, verse 15, let's all read this. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. We just read Jesus Christ is a faithful and true witness. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord beareth witness with our spirit. Amen. But verse 15 says, the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us of all these things, because the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. For after that he had said before, verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, I will put my into their minds, and will I write them, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When we say, Lord, my soul bless thee, I do not want to forget thy benefits, and the Lord says, I want to forget your sins, I want to forget your iniquities, but don't forget my benefits. He remember not our iniquities by which we received His grace and mercy. If He remembered everything, then washing away the sins, the sacrifice, the atonement and the offering is not powerful enough for the Lord to forget our sins. We cannot forget what He did, but He had forgot what we did in our sinful life. Verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin. This verse, I pray that the Lord leave a permanent scar in our heart. There is no more sacrifice for your sin. It's already done. There is no more offering for anyone's sin. It is done. It came to pass. Whatever the Lord had purposed in His heart, it shall come to pass, and it came to pass. There is no more sin offering. That is why whatever happening around us, people who are still giving offering to the Lord, they are telling the Lord, I don't believe in what happened. I don't understand what happened. That is the lack of understanding, the biggest wall that hides their eyes to see what happened. It is already done. That is why the Lord said, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Wait for it. We cannot simply sit idle. We have to tell the Lord, I want to work for you. Help me to work for you. Teach me to work for you, because we are here to fill the glory of the Lord. And that is why the Lord said, I'm looking for someone who can stand in the gap for me. He said, I'm looking. We cannot say, Lord, I'll be resting. You can call me when you need. Lord said, I'm looking. I am always looking. Amen. Amen. Now, Hebrews 10, we read. Chapter 13, Hebrews, verse 20 to 21. Chapter 13, Hebrews, verse 20 to 21.
I read, now the God of peace. He is not a God of war to us. He is a God of peace to us. He wages against all the enemies, the war, to bring peace to us. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Judgment belongs to the Lord. We are here to hold on to peace, to preach the gospel of peace. That is why now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. That is why all of us are calling each other brother and sister. We share the same blood. We are one family of God. Verse 21. This is the perfection that we all want in our lives, not something that we can do by ourselves, but by the Lord through the fivefold ministry. Verse 21 says, make you perfect. It doesn't say you are perfect. It doesn't say you have made perfect. Make you perfect. He is perfecting all of us in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. There are lots of Bible verses we can go on in this, but let's go to the last slide that I wanted to share. So may the Lord grant us His knowledge and wisdom. For the past 9 weeks, including this week, whatever the Lord taught us through His words of life, to understand what we lost, how we gained, through whom we gained, and what we ought to do from now. It is not just a matter of understanding what happened. Understanding what happened is the revelation of what you and me should do in the days to come. We can't sit idle because the Lord says, I have greater purpose for you because He is great. Amen. Now let's look into this from top to bottom as the anointing flows top to bottom. When Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God, He taketh away the first, so that, it is not and, so that everything happens in our life, so that whoever sacrificed their life for the Lord, so that the Lord did something. When Abel was killed, the blood of Abel did not sleep. It cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard the cry. And He did something. And the blood sprinkling of Jesus speaketh much better than the blood of Abel, because Jesus Christ, He is the complete manifestation of God's word in our lives. Now, holding on to this, that He may establish the second. Now, let's move on. When we say this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins for many of us beyond time, and for by one offering he had perfected. This is the beautiful words of comfort that can give us the strength and confidence. As we know, when the Lord has purposed some thought in His heart, no one can stop it. It shall come to pass. It is just a matter of the Lord counsel in His mind, and when the thought is purpose in His heart, that's it. The word shall be spoken, it shall come to pass. Here we read one in past tense. Although we are all being perfected by God's grace through the ministry of the Lord, here He says, He hath perfected forever that them are that are sanctified. We read this in past tense because the offering done, sacrifice done, victory gained, everything is done. We are just going through to see the fulfillment of the perfect will of God in our life, in His church. It is done. Never let our own spirit or the flesh or the people of the world to confuse us. We should not worry. We should not doubt. The blessed assurance has no room for confusion. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the power of Holy Ghost. And we have the gift of Holy Ghost. Never let your flesh to tell you don't have it. It is not from the Lord. We have. The manifestation needs our work to be done for the Lord to reward us His grace more in our lives. Amen. Now, because of this, we read He sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. The glorified Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a man, flesh, died, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ, then the body is also glorified. Amen? Because through the body of Jesus Christ, we all receive the salvation. Now let's read this.
we know this is the covenant, the new covenant, the only covenant, that the final covenant that the Lord was always aiming for in our lives, that He will put His laws in our hearts. He will write everything in our mind. When Jesus said to His disciples, rejoice not that you are able to cast out demons, but rejoice your names are written in the book of life. Amen. We rejoice because the Lord wrote our names in the book of life, not because of the great work that He is doing through us. We do not have anything to boast of God's word. It is God's word. It's just a matter of being there as a mere empty vessel, like a plain water, odorless, colorless. Now, who witnessed all of this? Whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. The same Spirit of the Lord who beareth witness to with our spirit. Now, if we are not sanctified through the offering of body of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that is why when we say the name above all names, although billions of people can say Jesus, Jesus, they are not worshipping the same Jesus that we worship. They are not worshipping the same Jesus the true worshippers worship. Names may sound similar, but the power of the name will only be realized, will only be received when we utter the name with the understanding from the Holy Ghost. Who He is. Amen. So Jesus, the name above all names. And because of that, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God can say, He can forget, but we cannot say. We read that we must not forget the benefits of the Lord. So now there is a remission of sins. There is no more offering for sin. We only repent with a broken heart. God is close to contrite spirit because everything is done. It is a matter of claiming what has been done. Now, before we read the last verse, let's all go to Isaiah chapter 28, verses from 16 to 18. I read, the whole sermon we started with the foundation of God, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the chief, the precious cornerstone. And we are all the lively stones built upon Him. Amen. Let's read this with reverence and honor for our Lord. We read, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. Not any stone, a tried stone, which was subject to everything that it must go through for the remission of sins, for salvation of you and me. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. In New King James Version, it is even written very clearly. We read later, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. It's not valid anymore. It's gone. It's expired because it is of no strength at all, because the testator who went into death, he is now liveth. So it is invalid. So we read, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. Which means before that, there was an agreement with hell in our life, because all have sinned, short of the glory of the Lord. Whoever is short of the glory of the Lord, they have an agreement with the hell, they have a covenant with the death. In Him we find life, that is why we read, in Christ the life was hid. Amen. Now we read, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then he shall be trodden down by it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are lots of verses that warns us about how faithful the Lord is when it comes to the covenant, the promises that He has given to all of us. The Ark of the Covenant, it is a new series altogether. It is so deep. But I want us to finish the sermon with one warning for all of us in our lives. If we truly believe that we can experience the pain, the humility of the Calvary of Jesus, where He was stripped off, they put a scarlet robe on Him, they spat on Him, they struck His head,
the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Whenever I read this verse, if it doesn't remind you of your past, then you are in your self-righteousness. The Lord wants us to be humble by the way He showed His love to our lives. We cannot forget the benefit of the Lord. We also should not forget how much grace and mercy we received in our lives. With this, let's read the last verse. It just came to my heart. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 59. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 59. Chapter 16, verse 59. There are a lot of chapters that explains the faithfulness of God, His grace, mercy, His promises and covenant. But if the Lord had done all of this for us, He has given us an everlasting covenant. Read verse 59 with sincerity in our heart. We read, "For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." May the Lord grant us sincerity in our spiritual life, remembrance in our spiritual life of what He has done for us, and the warning that comes with it. The Lord says, "I remember not your sins, iniquities, transgression, everything." But the Lord says, if you break my covenant, if you break the oath that you gave to me, I will have to deal with you based on what you did. We will be judged according to our works. It is not contradicting. It is still abiding in one word. May the Lord grant us His grace and mercy to grow in Him, to know more of Him, so that we would not break the covenant with Him. Because He won't break. He is always faithful. It is us who break the covenant. May the Lord touch our hearts. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost will continue to speak to us. There are a lot of Bible verses. After the sermon, I shall share with you all in the chat group. Let's all rise and I shall close the sermon with a prayer. Let's all bow our heads. Let's all meditate on the sacrifice, the offering, the shame, the death, and the life that we all have right now because our Redeemer lives. There is no power in this earth, no flesh. Nothing can tell us, tell you, and tell me, tell the church, tell the children of God that you are weak because thou art strong. Let there be no confusion, let there be no doubts concerning the gifts of the Holy Ghost, concerning the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life, because the Lord has promised us His presence shall go with us always. Let us only believe to receive the power, let us only believe to understand that He is always with us, always watching over us, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the everlasting covenant. Because we were all marked for hell. We were all walking in the paths of destruction towards death. Because we had covenant with the death. We had agreement with the hell. But Lord, you showed thy grace and mercy because of thy agape love in our lives. Lord, teach us and guide us and strengthen us to have the reciprocal love, to appreciate the covenant, the sacrifice, the offering, the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives, to feel more powerful in our spiritual life, to feel the blessed assurance, the confidence that you are our absolute, O Lord. We always look up to thee, O Lord. Guide us, O Lord, to soak us in thy Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, that we may bear thy witness in our lives. Because, O Lord, the only thing that we can give back to thee, O Father, as we read, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of the Lord. When Jesus said in the Last Supper, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," oh Lord, we want to eat the words of life. We want to drink the blood of Jesus. And we want to do everything to the glory of the Lord. Because Lord, we are here to fill thy glory in this world by witnessing thy Spirit to all in the earth, O Lord.
because you have made a covenant with us, and we are waiting to meet you in the air. We are waiting to gather up together with you in the clouds, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed assurance. Thank you, Lord, for the words of life. Lord, we pray earnestly, O Lord, help us to have the assurance in our pain, in our tears, the tears that we shed, it will speak unto thee, O Lord, that you will do great things. Because the blood of Abel crying unto thee, and Lord, we pray, guide us to rejoice in the fellowship of thy sufferings, because we are holding unto the everlasting covenant. We are in living God, we are in the living word, and the glory of the Lord is in the midst of us, and you are surrounding all of us in the wall of fire. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost in our life.
Amen.
We are all baptized, Lord, in the fire by the Holy Ghost. We are all washed in the sin by the blood of Jesus. The same way you save the people belong to Noah and the family of Noah from the flood. Thank you, Lord, that you are separating all of us from what is about to happen. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We bless thy holy name. In the name above all names, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.